1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by our patrons at patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Not only do you donate to our wrestling fund that Dills and I will only spend on attending wrestling events, but you get access to our patron-only Discord. That is where you can be a part of the best live conversation on the internet about wrestling, live and recorded. And you get access to our Melodica challenges before anyone else, including last week's, which fooled everyone. Head on over there, won't you? Patreon.com/1900Wrestling.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING!
Oh, hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen. It is 1-900-WRESTLING. My name is Justin Robert Young, and this is Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm a little tired. But I think I'm ready to rock. I stayed up late watching Extreme Rules because I had the Warriors. I had the Warriors game to watch.
Yeah.
So I had to sacrifice one that was going to be live. And I picked the Warriors over Extreme Rules, over a fatal five-way.
I mean, number one, you did see the less competitive matchup. It's a good thing that the NBA Finals is also being contested under Extreme Rules, because they would have had to stop that match about halfway through the third quarter. I'm starting to think.
Yeah, I think if they had the option to submit, I think the Cavaliers tapped out officially about halfway through the fourth quarter. Yeah,
it's very weird when you're watching LeBron James go at like full speed, close the game to within two, and then in 5 seconds, you realize that if Steph Curry's gathering rebounds and outletting to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson is hitting threes, there's just really no chance to beat that Warriors team.
Yeah. No, the Warriors had like something like 12 turnovers in the first half, and we're still up by three. So if you can't beat them when they're sucking, then, yeah, I don't know what you could do.
Now, to be fair, before everybody thunders in here, the Warriors were up 2-0 after blowing out the Cavs at both home
last
games
season,
last
year. Yep.
So
not 1 year ago, the Warriors were up 3-1 and couldn't close the deal. So
that's funny. I
didn't
know that.
I never take anything for granted.
I wasn't aware of that. I wish people would remind Warriors fans of that more.
Sure. They never talk about it. It's
weird. It's weird how statistics just kind of fall by the wayside.
Yeah, it's become like the biggest meme ever, which I think is hilarious. Like even in the Jinder Mahal is the new champion threads on R squared circle, there was don't let Jinder being the new champion distract you from the fact that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. So look, that will never go away, whether they win this year or not. And that's fine. That's fine. Spicy memes are always welcome. By the way, I will say this. That Warriors game, on a scale of super extreme to not very extreme at all,
yeah,
it was kind of like cliff face camping while eating a habanero pepper. But it wasn't to the level that I ended up having once I turned on my WWE Network,
yeah,
which I spend only $9.99 a month on, and started watching Extreme Rules, which was more like volcano surfing,
yeah,
while eating jerk chicken.
Well,
so,
base jumping naked. Yeah.
Yes. So I ended up getting a little more extreme out of my evening once I got home and started watching that.
So this has become my favorite thing about the podcast, which is scouring the week's worth of wrestling to find the sound that will separate all of our segments here. We got a lot of suggestions on the Discord last night of sounds from Extreme Rules. Do you have any guesses of what you heard during Extreme Rules? Dills, you do not know what the sound is going to be. Could you suggest?
I have no clue.
Anything that would come to mind?
I mean, Could it? Does that have anything to do with Great Balls of Fire? Maybe? I don't know. We got a little bit of Great Balls of Fire promo.
Although
action.
We will talk about that. We will talk about the main event. We will talk about Braun Strowman coming back. We will talk about WCBW, Dalton Castle, and Okada Omega 2. But first,
Baltimore is bathed in filth.
All right. I'm bad.
How old do you think Alicia Fox is?
Alicia Fox?
How old?
Alicia Fox, I'm going to guess, is 25.
So I...
she looks young, dude.
For whatever reason, I assumed that she was older because she's been in the WWE system for a while now.
She has been around, yeah, but I mean, I thought she was always kind of young.
But standing next to Noam Dar, who you know is very young, he is 23. I thought she was over 30. She's 30 years old.
Exactly 30.
7 years older than Noam Dar, and she looks smoking. It's amazing.
So she's a cougar, huh?
I mean, I don't know. When does that? Yeah, I mean, the Bucks saying she's been around for 10 years at least, and I think that's definitely true. She's in more of the like Dolph Ziggler era of recruits than anything else. But no, I actually thought she was older. I thought she looked even better for her age. But 30 years old, I don't know why I felt the need to start the podcast with that. But I was just totally blown away. We don't have to stay on it.
That is kind of weird for sure because she does feel like she's been there forever. But I also feel there's other guys like that. I think with wrestling, I often look at them as like ageless, right? Like to me, The Miz looks like Miz from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
The same right now, right? And I'm just like, how old actually is that guy? And then you get surprised when they're like in their mid to late 30s and stuff. AJ Styles just turned 40.
AJ did just turn 40. But also,
like,
I mean,
what?
But you know, I mean, like, we have an idea. Like, he's got a, you know, one of these days you just like Google it and it's like, you know, AJ Styles reacts to 9/11 or something. And it's like, oh, okay, that guy's been around for a while.
Sure. AJ Styles remembers the show Night Court. You're like, oh, sweet. Okay.
You just see him in TNA and he's just like cutting a promo on, you know, just like John Larroquette on Night Court. Jesus.
AJ Styles watched DuckTales when he was a kid. You're like, oh, all right. So he's close to my age.
Here we go. All right. We can move on.
Baltimore is bathed in filth.
By the way, Baltimore is bathed in filth. Like, I'm not doing a heel turn. I've been to Baltimore many times.
So have I.
There's some filth in Baltimore.
I'm going to say that's the realest shit that he ever wrote.
The
Drifter.
I get it. You got to get a crap on the town you're in. That's a heel move. That's the ultimate heel move.
Yeah.
But not that far off base, to be honest. There's really nice areas, too. You can walk the harbor. Very little filth.
The harbor is very nice. Also, I've enjoyed my time on the outskirts of Baltimore, like some of the other little towns and areas. There's some really, really, really cool places. I remember
beautiful ballpark too.
I remember enjoying went to a hookah lounge once in some place that kind of looked like almost European. This is getting really off topic. Does the open cage door always bother you in cage matches?
Yes. Yes, it does bother me. It bothers the hell out of me. Although last night, it was used effectively, I think.
It still needs to be locked initially, right?
The dumb thing is that there's a ref who just stands there waiting to open it for you.
Like a concierge, right?
Yeah,
sir, please. Would you like your car brought around? I mean, like, have the door there. It's been around forever. I get it. But lock it with a chain, and then if somebody goes over, instead of just having Jeff Hardy stand around in some sort of, like, he's having a drug freak out, instead of involving himself back in the match while Matt Hardy gets his living asshole kicked in, like, why don't you have him running to the back to try to find a cutter to get into
have a key hanging from one of the corners or something like that, and you can go get that. You're right. It doesn't make sense why you would ever climb when you could just always go for the door. Okay, so here's the thing. Like, I watch wrestling. When I watch wrestling, I'm not like, that's not realistic. But there are certain things that they could make just a little more, because you notice things like, oh my God, they both got hit with a big ass move, and now Sheamus and Cesaro are walking really slowly in circles, figuring out the next thing they're going to do to the Hardys, when they could just easily walk out the door right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to kind of talk about that match specifically, but sure. I will just say in general, like, I don't need it to be more realistic. I need it to bring me more narrative tension, right? Like,
yeah,
everybody a little bit to do. And sure. There are times when you can't, like what happened in the Fatal 5-Way, where you're just going to have Finn Balor taking a 30-minute nap. Like, there's no other way to not just make it a weird Royal Rumble where they're all just throwing forearms on each other's backs if you don't clear out the ring and let it go 2-on-2, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, those kind of combinations. You can't just have five guys in the ring at all times, so someone's going to have to lay down and try to count to a million.
Sure. Oh, no, it's absolutely true. But I think, yeah, the door takes away. So then, you know, you need to cut down in wrestling on the times when somebody can, like a casual fan can be watching and be like, why don't they just do this? Like, you got to cut down on those times, right? Because those not being there just makes the storyline more effective. You know what I mean? So, because I don't know if you've had this experience where you watch wrestling with somebody who doesn't like wrestling.
Sure. Yeah.
Thinks it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And the whole time all they talk about is like how fake something is. You got to cut down on those moments. And cutting down on those moments would go a long way by just getting rid of the stupid door. It's true. Like it makes the match, you know, go from like skydiving in extreme to hang gliding. You know what I mean? It cuts that much off of the extreme. So I'm just
saying. It is indeed that much less extreme.
Baltimore is bathed in filth.
Is this just going to be a 50s themed pay-per-view that we're getting?
I think so.
Let's go ahead and take a look here. This is the official commercial that we saw last night.
Yeah, so they're literally playing the song.
They're playing Great Balls of Fire. They're showing diners and sock hops and old footage and drive-ins.
Great Balls of Fire. And they didn't really tease the actual new number one contender, by the way. They did show Brock. I think this is clearly made before. This was supposed to be like ready to go.
No. This was shown during the pay per view before the main event. So
yes.
I don't know what we expected from Great Balls of Fire. I know I did not expect it to be literally themed like the 50s.
I didn't think they were actually going to use the damn song. I thought, you know, Great Balls of Fire was. Maybe it was going to be some sort of a dragon themed logo or something like that, and then I don't know.
I guess what could you do, right? It's like what are the themes that involve Great Balls of Fire? You're right. A dragon would be one.
Sure.
Like an action movie where they shoot a tanker of gas.
Yeah.
You know, like big explosions or something.
Yeah, they could just have like the cool guys don't look at explosions type promo going on where you just have a bunch of wrestlers walking away from massive explosions. I mean,
it's just, yeah. Finally, the WWE brings you a entire pay-per-view themed around controlled demolitions.
that would have been a thing, I guess. But yeah, now it's, I don't know. I don't know if it got me like excited at all or it just got me confused, you know. I think that's not a good thing for your promo.
Well,
your promo,
I mean, like,
should just get you
pumped.
Are
they gonna? Because, you know, sometimes it's like for like war theme stuff, they bring out like jeeps and they have like like the netting and stuff hanging over. Obviously, for gimmick match, tables, ladders, and chairs, they'll have tables, ladders, and chairs hanging around. Do you think we're going to get a jukebox? Like, is there going to be a malt shop? You know, how elaborate are we getting with Great Balls of Fire?
We're going to get like guys. We're going to get Finn Balor coming out with a jukebox next to him. He's got his cool leather jacket. He like bumps it with his fist and it turns on and starts playing Great Balls of Fire. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, right now, we need Mitsula to give us odds on us seeing that between now and July 9th.
You know, they've got him in his cool leather jacket, man. And now they got the 50s thing. Oh, the Fawn stuff could happen. He can literally come out in a like on a motorcycle and jump over a shark on the way to the ring. And then that could happen.
Now, the other thing I was thinking with this is if you were going to do a Great Balls of Fire match and it is indeed 50s themed, can you now open up the door to do other themed pay-per-views? Like, can you do other decade-themed pay-per-views? A 70s, like the Summer of Love? You know, the Age of Aquarius?
I mean, you can. Should you, though? The technology is there. But I don't know. We need to stop and think.
I need odds from Mitsula, the official bookmaker of 1-900-WRESTLING. He is an official professional bookmaker.
That's right.
We need him to give us odds on whether or not we will see a produced bit where Finn Balor hits a jukebox like Arthur Fonzarelli.
Right now that pay-per-view actually has a main event I'm incredibly excited for, right?
Oh, yeah. Main event anywhere in the world. Joe versus Brock.
Yeah, and so, you know, just that alone made me feel like it's on the extreme level of like surfing with sharks. And then they play that promo and I'm like, now I'm surfing with guppies, dude. This has gone way down on my extreme list. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's just the matches themselves.
Samoa Joe has his own diner though. Look at this. Really? Yeah. No, we go through Alexa Bliss has a bomber. Then there's Samoa Joe's diner. Who's parked in Samoa Joe's diner, though? Oh, it's Roman Reigns in the muscle
car. It's Roman Reigns. That's right.
Yeah. Look at that.
The other Samoa Joe.
The other Samoan Joe, yeah.
That was the joke on R-Squared Circle last night, which was, you know, Vince in the back like, all right, book it. Samoa Joe wins. And then they, like, show it. And he's like, who is that?
Yeah. What the like, hell is that, Joe, pal? SmackDown Live presents Pac-Man Fever, the 80s throwback. I think you've opened up a whole new realm, friends.
Wow. Hey, we could have them go all the way back to the silent era. The promo is just like the train coming at us.
The talkies?
Yeah, the talkies. Oh, my God.
It's just all silent movies. And then meanwhile, it's Enzo Amore moving his mouth like in the filigreed black and white flicker. What do we got over here?
Got to bring back Simon Gotch for that one, though, right?
They did kill the vaudevillains.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, maybe they've gone away. Although that would be amazing if they did a 1920s themed pay-per-view just as Simon Gotch is out the door.
Just have all the matches done with no sound, right? So you just have like a piano going like the whole time, and then every now and then you cut, like they have come out and they do promos, everyone does like super exaggerated motions, and then you have like a cut to the little screen and it's, you know, like John Cena saying like, hey, you cannot see me.
Yeah. But you want to know what, those always suck. You've gone to a ton of baseball games. Have you ever gone to one of those like turn back the clock baseball
games?
Sure.
Yeah. And then they sell beer for like the, you know, a dollar for one inning or something like that.
Yeah.
50 cents for one inning. Yeah, absolutely.
But they always, when, you know, you ever, like the ones where they like turn off all the scoreboards and everything so you're watching it in the way that they, like that's always really fun for the first inning. And then you're like, no, but I would really like to see that instant replay if I could.
Sure.
Like, can somebody please acknowledge that we're in modern era?
Or like the guys who actually get together and play baseball from like the 1880s rules.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they, like, they have, like, the high pitch and low pitch, and they're all wearing the dumb glove. And I'm like, this is not fun, you guys.
It's
Come
not
on.
Fun. There was a reason why we evolved from it.
We changed these rules because the new rules are better.
Because
so, they except
sucked.
For the designated hitter. But anyway, there's a lot of sports on this week's podcast.
We have. I'll tell you what. We are a sports podcast, technically, and we are bringing this
Yeah, technically. Yeah. Sports and entertainment.
Baltimore is bathed in filth.
I'm going to skip one here. Let's get to this WCPW stuff. WCPW, yeah. What Culture Pro Wrestling, for those of you who are not aware, What Culture WWE is certainly a very influential YouTube brand as well as a blog that does a lot of stuff. They expanded last year into putting on their own shows and have been a very rich part of the indie scene out there in the UK, which is a booming. However, though, they've run up into some problems with YouTube. If you are not following along with the YouTube stuff, how would you describe, Willie Dills, what is happening over there with YouTube in general and then with What Culture specifically?
Well, in general, a lot of YouTube channels recently have had an issue where advertisers came out and were not happy with some of the content that their advertisements were going on.
Specifically, videos of beheadings.
Sure. Specifically stuff like that. I mean, if you want to talk about the most extreme of what was going on.
Oh,
I mean,
Jesus.
That was, you know,
about extreme rules. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's like paragliding while eating a Korean suicide burrito. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Videos like that, almost as dangerous for your head as working in New Japan.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're really going to cut out those decapitating spots.
All right, let's move on. We're getting into weird territory.
I know. But essentially, like, there was crazy stuff that people were putting on YouTube. There was one, it was literally like a gay porn.
Yeah.
And there was monetized, and, you know, there was like a bunch of stuff that was happening. But what ended up kind of happening was a bunch of other people got caught in the crossfire. Right. And people who were doing like blogs, daily vlogs or whatever, but they swore in their vlogs.
Yeah.
They were suddenly getting demonetized because now they were just kind of blanket putting people into this kind of, offensive content category. Right.
Yeah.
And once you're in that category, you see people were saying that their videos were making 80% less money than before. Right. And so what woke culture does for most of their stuff, which I think is probably the most popular stuff, is probably not having an issue at all, right? Because it's the top 10 things Spider-Man should say in the next movie, right? The top 10 villains we're going to see in the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's that kind of stuff that they do. But then, of course, now they have their wrestling promotion. And apparently, wrestling content goes into the offensive content category, which doesn't make any sense because it's so not offensive.
This is something that has become very controversial, specifically to WCPW, because they make a lot of money on their live shows that they both put behind a paywall, and one that they did not, a recurring show in which they were counting on the money that would come in. And so there is now a change.org petition submitted by Heelbook that is to YouTube and begs and pleads to remove wrestling from the offensive content list. We will read from the beginning of it. I'm both a huge wrestling fan and an indie booker. I love wrestling. There we're covered. The setup in March 2017, YouTube underwent changes to its algorithm, the piece of code that decides how content is organized, which videos appear in search first, and more importantly here, what content is fit for advertisers. The problem is that they have now begun categorizing wrestling as offensive. That means lost revenue for companies like WCPW. This is probably more of a tech story than it is
a
wrestling story, but it is certainly a business of wrestling story as,
well,
you know, people try to make money doing it.
I'll say this, though. What Culture was doing would be something that I think would be kind of pioneering for wrestling promotions, smaller wrestling promotions, right? And certainly open up a revenue stream that could potentially be very lucrative, right? And help get more indie wrestling out to the world. So the fact that they're kind of getting a big roadblock in their way, I think stops. Because a lot of what the smaller companies are doing is this IPPV model, right?
Yes.
So they get you to pay whatever it is. And we talked about it'd be super sweet if all this got folded into the WWE network and there was just like the wrestling channel.
Yes.
That you could just watch all the stuff on. That'd be great. But until that happens, which may or may never happen, another fantastic avenue would be just to be able to put it onto YouTube and monetize those videos. And if you get, you know, a few hundred thousand downloads, that's money. That's money coming in. But if there's no money coming in that way, then it just, it shuts off a complete revenue source for these people.
So,
and
yeah, and I think the larger conversation here is also kind of about YouTube not being very transparent. And it's not like the largest wrestling promotions got a letter that said, hey, wrestling's now offensive content. We don't know whether or not this is evenly distributed. We don't know whether or not WWE is seeing gigantic slashes in what they would get from advertising revenue because their massive channel is now suffering the same thing, or if this is just for independent promotions. And then this is probably more important, is there is no recourse right now for WCBW to say, hey, can we talk to somebody? Like, can we find out who put us on this list? Can we make our case? It's just no one tells them. They just see the money isn't rolling in. And
well, they also got a strike on their channel, which is apparently their first one for something. Maybe they, and again, it's they even posted what it looked like, the thing that they got from YouTube. It's still kind of unclear what they did wrong. You know,
that also apparently initially, and it looks like they deleted the tweet. They said that they were no longer able to live stream.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with them live streaming their last event,
which that has been deleted from their Twitter. I do not know where that stands. There is a lot that we don't know. However,
there is a petition, though, that they're distributing that want people to sign.
Yeah, that was the petition I was reading just here before. Yeah. It is currently, as of our recording, at 47,288 supporters in need of 50,000. So it will hit 50,000, 2,712 yet to go.
But what really happens when people like sign these petitions? What, like, I mean, nothing is like forced to happen. It's just, oh, now address it. Like,
I mean, change.org as a platform, I think, brings this to the party, and you hope that because they are a purveyor of such things, that maybe you would hear more from it, or they will relay some kind of comment from the people that they are talking about.
I get the feeling, though, that some people think that these are somehow legally binding. Like, we signed this petition.
Nothing matters. Absolutely nothing matters.
But, I mean, whatever. It's the least you can do. It's like, hey, here's a show of solidarity, right? Like, there's enough people who care about this. Take a look at it, right?
But
I mean, I signed it. I was like, whatever. I don't ever think anything's actually going
to
happen.
We encourage everybody to sign it. Everybody should sign it and sign it quickly and often, early and often. Go ahead and make sure that this thing goes to Google and they are asked about this, because I'm sure they are so focused on how this is turning out. However, we do have a little bit of a conspiracy.
Mm.
This comes from a very long Twit Longer post by Total Biscuit, a YouTube video game celebrity.
He, I'd say, makes most of his money off of YouTube and like sponsored reviews of games. And then, of course, he also streams onto Twitch.
Yeah.
So he kind of has all those things.
He's got a lot of stuff
covered. I mean, he understands the world of YouTube, right? So
he goes into how frustrating it is from the perspective of WCPW. He also asked some very, very, very good questions about exactly how much the video that they showed that made very, very little money, that they were expecting to make more money, how much it's made now that it has more views on it. However, he says in his final paragraph, this is wrestling we're talking about, and it's entirely possible that this whole thing is a quote-unquote work, part of a made-up storyline by What Culture to promote their brand. If so, it's a hell of a work getting your own channel hit by a community strike just after your monetization was. If you've managed to make that up, then congrats. That's some next level meta shit. It's pretty safe to assume it's not, though. So let's assume the more interesting reality and say that it is. Is this the greatest angle in wrestling history?
It's brilliant, though. I mean, they've essentially created their own Vince McMahon, right? To
that
rail
YouTube's
against.
YouTube's the bad guy, right?
Yeah. YouTube is Mr. McMahon. And the other thing, too, is I don't know if you watched the promo. Adam Blampy, whatever. I don't know.
Plumpy,
is that really his name?
I believe the kids call him Plumpy.
They call him Plumpy. All right. So Plumpy's promo was pretty fiery and a pretty good promo, and it felt very much like what you might say. And it opened their show, their Fight Back show or whatever. It felt very much like what you were getting from like Stone Cold versus Mr. McMahon, where, you know, he's aimed at indie wrestling fans, right? Like one of the biggest pops in his promo was, "We always pay our wrestlers." And that was like a huge moment. It was like, yeah, they pay the wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's like that's where,
well,
indie
that also apparently
is
another controversy out there in the ever growing yet ever complicated UK indie scene where Five Star Wrestling wound up not.
I mean, I've heard about that, like Chikara had issues with this too. This is not anything like new, I think, to indie wrestling, right? This happens like esports too. Anybody who's trying to do stuff independently without the backing of a huge amount of capital and stuff like that has issues. They don't pay the people who win the tournaments and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure like this is a very similar situation. But I mean, it was just funny that was all of this was like super dedicated to and aimed at like the smarky indie wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
And they were eating it up. It was great. So if this is just a work, bravo.
It's a hell of a work.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a work. His big quote, "Hate speech tears people apart. Wrestling brings people together." So if the point of this is to keep more wholesome content on YouTube, then maybe we should not be pointing the finger at the beautiful immersive art form.
And he did call it an art form too in his promo. So I liked that quite a bit. I was immediately on board. I was like, hell yeah, this guy gets it. But you know, I really do think, and this is another Total Biscuit brought up in his twit longer, I think that he's absolutely correct that if YouTube wants to be moving more towards what television content looks like, they should really be going out of their way to support something like What Culture Pro Wrestling, because they are putting on an actual production with multi-cameras and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not some dude with his iPhone walking around like, you know, his local town being annoying to everybody, right? Like, which is what a lot of content is on YouTube. People pranking. It's just a prank bro on the streets and stuff like that. That's like what got YouTube tons and tons of traction, you know, in the last 5 years or whatever. And they want to move away from that stuff. Find the people who are actually putting money into it.
Who are putting money and effort into it. Not to mention the fact that professional wrestling, as long as there has been technology, professional wrestling has been a leading indicator of it. Much like pornography, wrestling finds a way before many other entertainment options. It was the same with television. It was the same with cable television. It was the same with the internet, with message boards. It's the same now with streaming. Wrestling finds a way, and it usually finds a way earlier than other people do it. So doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yep.
Baltimore is bathed in filth.
Dills, Dalton Castle's contract, according to Dave Meltzer, is up within a month from Ring of Honor. Mm. I want to just go ahead and ISO for you. I'm clearing the floor. I want you to speak directly to Dalton Castle.
All right, Dalton. Dalton, you and your boys have had a good run in Ring of Honor, and it's been great. They haven't put the belt on you, and if they're not going to put the belt on you there, well, you could go somewhere else and have the belt not put on you. But what can get put on you is a huge viewing audience who will love your peacocking, your colorful nature, your wonderful way of speaking, the way you arch your back so elegantly in the middle of the ring. There's a lot of people out there that need a little a little dose of Dalton in their lives, you know? And the boys would be over as hell. Even in filthy places like Baltimore, you guys could come there and make this world colorful. So please, Dalton.
All right, now let me
give
ask
it a
you,
chance. Consider it.
Let me ask you some, let me ask
so
you
bad.
Some hard questions. What if he can't bring the character?
Oh, then don't do it. Don't do it, dude. Then by all means, stay wherever you can. Keep wrestling. Be Dalton. Dalton's too good. If they don't bring Dalton over as Dalton Castle, that'd just be stupid. By the way,
I mean he could. He got over in Chikara as smooth sailing Ashley Remington.
He's a good wrestler, and he'd be fine at whatever gimmick. And if it makes him happier to be in WWE, and he can't be Dalton, that's fine. On a personal level, I just want to see that human being succeed at the business he clearly loves. Right.
All right. What if he can bring the character, but he can't bring the boys, and he needs to get new boys?
The character without the boys, though, here's the thing, though. It's not like the WWE has a history of not being into like weird valets, right? So I don't think they'd have a problem with the boys.
It means hiring two extra people, like WWE has to be sold on bringing in both those guys.
Here's the thing though, if they don't want to hire the actual boys, I'm sure that the boys could find a way to use that in their gimmick as like the ex-boys or something like that. And then they're just sad all the time and they're trying to feather things, but it's like, it's not the same as feathering Dalton. And then of course they just have, some NXT people be the boys in WWE. Right.
I think that's more likely. It is more likely that, they have no shortage of muscly men kicking around the performance center. So
yeah.
You know, just congratulations.
They'll pretend to be security for one segment, and then they put their boy costume on and come back out and fan Dalton.
Hey, listen, you look at some of those pictures of the Exotic Express, the crew for Adam Rose, and it is basically
Braun Strowman was a member.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's basically like the cast of Raw right now. Like you just see Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch and Braun Strowman, they're all in there.
But, I just want Dalton Castle to be doing the best wrestling that he can do. And if that means coming to WWE, that's fantastic, and I think he deserves a payday. But I think there are certain characters in wrestling where I think, hey, man, like Joey Ryan could just exist forever in the indies and make plenty of money and be fine. But he could also work in WWE. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they could go either way, I think. And I think there's a lot of people who think if you're not in WWE, you're not doing anything really.
No, I don't think that's
some people think that though. There are some people who think like that's just the minor leagues, and if you didn't ever make it to WWE, like you failed or something like that.
Well,
but,
no, I mean I think the one thing that is as true as anybody says is that you're going to work for the most money and in front of the biggest crowds with the WWE.
Yep.
And if you would like to make the most money you could possibly make and work for the biggest crowds while taking that gamble, that Plinko gamble that, all right, you might get the cold shoulder of the machine and never really get over and get lost in the shuffle and become depressed and, realize that you have shattered dreams. Or you could be Stone Cold Steve Austin. And all of a sudden, the one half of the Hollywood Blondes that wasn't going to be a star turns into the greatest professional wrestler of all time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, though, too, is you could be in mid-card hell for a long time, and then you can Jinder Mahal your way to the championship. So, right now, it's like it's not the same as it always was, I think. There's not, this definite – there's no more Brooklyn Brawler, right, who just jobs for 15 years, right? They just kind of – give you a shot if you go for it. If you grab that brass ring
– yeah.
Then you can make it. You can do stuff.
Here's the question, though. Are they just going to bring in, five ROH dudes at the same time? Because we have, Adam Cole has now officially severed all ties. He is out everywhere else, and the rumor is it is, just a legality contract situation of him coming into the WWE. Kyle O'Reilly, same situation. His other partner in Red Dragon, same situation. Now we're hearing about Dalton Castle. Apparently, all the interest a few months ago was enough for ROH to say, yo, for real, if you don't stop taking guys like five dudes at a time, we're going to like start to look into tampering stuff.
Yeah, no, I heard about like Marty Skrull, Jay Lethal. There's been rumors around a bunch of guys from there. So,
well, Lethal signed a new contract with ROH.
Yeah,
you gotta,
I know
he's
kind of off the table now, but he's another guy that I think would definitely just work in WWE. Like the thing that was like, you know, and I think it's just a matter of time before like Ricochet and those guys too. Like that, I think it's, you know, it's
well, they've got those weird Lucha Underground contracts. Like,
yeah, yeah, but okay, but Ring of Honor. 5 years ago or whatever, that somebody posted like a picture of one of their pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, El Generico and Kevin Steen and Tyler Black. And, you know, it was basically WWE's top of the card now.
Yep.
And it's, you know, that just might be the way it works now these days with ROH, right? Like, it's just kind of these guys put in work, do their time, and then move up. Technically to WWE. Like, there's guys like Bobby Fish, I think, would do great in WWE. Like, there's so many names there. So
let me
and if that's how it works, that's fine.
Snap question for you personally, as the biggest Dalton Castle fan I know.
Sure. I mark out for Dalton Castle.
What would you rather have happen? Forget current storylines of where ROH is at, because I know Cody is going for the title. Dalton Castle becomes Ring of Honor world champion in August, or Dalton Castle, full gimmick with the boys, gets the big, like, Shinsuke Nakamura, like feature match at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
Like, comes to NXT and is, like, pushed right away.
But he gets the big, like, the whole shebang. Like, he's sold out Barclays Center on their feet for Dalton Castle.
I would choose that. I would definitely choose that. I think
over the title.
Over the title. Over the ROH title, yes.
Listen back to our documentary of ROH. Let's go to the ROH show to see how important Dalton winning that title was for you.
They didn't put it on him in Orlando. It's dead to me. Dead title. No one cares.
So that was it. That was it. They had their chance. Don't pretend like you love him now.
Nope. They could have put that title over big time. Instead, friggin' Daniels retains. Why?
Yeah.
But no, I just want him to be in front of a new crowd, man. I want a new bunch of fresh bunch of eyes on Dalton Castle.
I think that is the big thing, is that there was just such a rippling around wrestling fandom when he made his ROH debut, and that character was kind of so complete. And then you kind of realized also how great he was in the ring. And you're like, you know, we could have that again. You can get, you're going to get that in NXT, wherever you're going to get the year where Dalton Castle is the biggest, hottest thing in NXT. And then theoretically, once he's in the pipeline, you bring him up to the main show.
The thing that does scare me, though, about WWE is they do have a history of taking a character like this and just it ending up being a joke character.
Yeah.
And I think he's much more than that. Like, there's definitely, I mean, he's freaking hilarious. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's also, like you said the word complete. I think that is a real thing you could say about Dalton Castle and what he's done with his character. It's almost like he's got a backstory. He's got reasons why he does what he does. It's not just, oh, what are you? I'm the funny guy who dresses like a peacock, right? Like, there's a lot to the guy. And, you know, he's got boys. He's got all these things where he's like, no, I'm established that there's a reason why I have this. All of these things all work together to create, like, this guy who, to me, feels like, he's just like a megalomaniac weirdo. He's like, you know, it's like a rock star who, instead of getting big playing, you know, rock shows, got big wrestling.
Yeah.
And just believes everybody should always be, you know, fawning over him and stuff like that. It's great. It's fantastic. It's a perfect character. And it fits wrestling, like, to a T.
Yeah. I don't know.
Dalton, come to me.
Come to me, Dalton.
Baltimore is bathed in filth.
All right. Braun Strowman, now looming large. Of course, in the storyline, he is out for six months, right? He would theoretically miss SummerSlam. However, we are led to believe, if you hear the whispers in the winds, that that might not exactly be the case. So book for me, Dills, Braun's comeback with the caveat that it has to include his first appearance attacking somebody backstage and yelling, "I'm not finished with you."
Well, of course. I mean, that's obviously how he shows up, right?
You cannot tease him returning, right?
No. It needs to be sudden. He needs to run from out of the frame and smash into something. And, you know, and I think at this point it's got to be Roman again. I think he comes back directly after Roman Reigns. And it's, the way things seem to be looking.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I hope that maybe it's not like this. But the way things seem to be looking, it feels like we're going to get Samoa Joe and Brock, and Brock's going to beat Samoa Joe in a way that makes him look insane. And then we're going to get, like, the Roman Brock thing happening, right? Which, yeah, whatever.
I think Roman Brock, by all indications, would be the Mania plan.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is kind of setting that up, right? You can't have Samoa come in and then, like, beat Brock and then set up I think they're going to
So let me go for the title. I agree, because I think the way it's going to go is this. You have Great Balls of Fire, the 1950s-themed pay-per-view from Dallas,
sure.
Texas.
Perfect way to set up for the titles.
Because when anybody thinks of wholesome good times, it's Dallas, Texas in the 1950s. I believe that Samoa Joe is going to lose to Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. and I hope it is because of Braun Strowman interference.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I hope that that then becomes, you know, you get a little main event on Raw between SummerSlam and Great Balls of Fire with Braun and Samoa Joe. Braun goes over, and that's our main event at SummerSlam. Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that sounds actually pretty good. I like that, too. Yeah. If Braun comes out in, a white T-shirt and some tight jeans. I'm not finished with you yet, or
I'm
50s
not
fashion.
With you yet. I will say this. There was a compelling argument made in the Discord while we were watching the pay-per-view that,
okay.
You know, how long are you going to keep this title off television? Is Samoa Joe, in a world where we are dealing with the modern day... Wait, hold on.
Modern-day Maharaja!
That Samoa Joe...
Yeah, he's putting that title over, so...
That Samoa Joe can also be the Universal Champion.
You know, that's not terrible, because it is weird that we've had Mania, and then we haven't seen the damn champion since, right?
No.
Like, that's weird.
That is odd.
Let's just, you know, I would like it if they just put it on Samoa Joe.
Well, you know,
and then had him battle against all the other guys who were in that fatal five man match for a while over that thing, and let Roman and Brock have their thing away from it. You know.
You know, I when you look at what that roster's at, you know, they don't have their biggest star. John Cena is not on television, not on Raw or SmackDown. Randy Orton obviously is somebody that's not a tremendous star power. Raw right now is being carried by a lot of guys that are really stepping up. You know, they're really mm-hmm. delivering awesome matches week after week after week. But you got to figure that once everybody starts coming back, and now's the time when everybody starts to come back. Cena's not far away from being back. Brock is going to be on TV within the next 2 weeks. That, you know, at least some of this, the hand-wringing about the ratings, hopefully should kind of die down a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame that Cena isn't going to be there for Great Balls of Fire, because I could just see him buying in so hard on some sort of comes out like snapping his fingers, and he's like, "When you're a jet all
oh
the way."
God.
And he's like,
no,
you know, like,
well, no,
I could
Cena,
definitely
Cena
see
Cena would do that thing that, like, weird, I'm going to try to tell, like, a really dirty joke, but I'm John Cena, so I have to,
sure.
like, put it in four different metaphors, like,
uh-huh,
you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
like, I think my balls have been on fire for the last 10 years.
He'll come out and do a doo-wop instead of a rap, and yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, you can have Nikki Bella by his side in a poodle skirt. He's got the 50s haircut, you know.
All right, last topic here. Is there any way that Okada Omega 2, which we are now in the full build for, doesn't underwhelm? Of course it's going to underwhelm. Everybody, prepare yourself for this not to be as good as their Wrestle Kingdom match. Lower your expectations immediately.
Yeah. No, I mean, their actual match at Wrestle Kingdom was, you know, mountain biking on Mount Kilimanjaro while eating suicide chicken wings. It was that extreme. This is going to be like eating peanuts at your local dive bar. It's just not going to measure up.
It's still dangerous. It's still dangerous. It's just not
sure.
quite as extreme.
You never know what's going to happen. God. But
you know, how many people
don't
wash their
hands? Give you the rush.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's in those nuts?
You only have that match. That's 6 stars one time, I think. Now, that being said, it could completely blow everybody away if they go a different direction with it and do something. Like, you know, they could do something like where they sell like a career-ending injury or something like that that actually didn't happen. But, you know, get people that would, rather than just, okay, let's just put on the best match we can, have some sort of storytelling element that comes in. Something like that. Because I know that Kenny Omega had an interview recently where he said, he wanted to make sure that whatever they did here was at least just going to be different and fresh and new.
Yeah.
And that's kind of his vision on wrestling anyway, right? It's like it's constantly got to be evolving.
Different. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to be the same kind of spot fest, amazing, like, sequence at the end, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be something different. And I'm ready for that. I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit there and I'm going to experience it with no like preconceived notion of what it should be. I think that'd be a healthy way for everybody to watch this match.
Big shout out to our friends at the Matt Men podcast, listening to their fine show over the weekend. They made the point that this is when Omega gets the title, this is when the Young Bucks get the title, and this is effectively your setup, not only for a big Wrestle Kingdom rematch between these two, that would be a rubber match, right?
Yes.
But also, and almost more importantly to the near term, to set up Bullet Club taking America with that live show in Long Beach. That this is, they want to bring their most popular American property to the shores of the good old US of A as strong as possible, and covered in gold would be the way to do it. So
there you go.
I expect that's
a preconceived notion of what it should be. Like I'm if that doesn't happen, I'm not going to be disappointed too.
No. I do, but if I'm going to take a guess, I'm guessing that's why this is happening now.
Yeah,
right.
No, that makes
because it is kind of weird that it's like this isn't a major thing for New Japan this moment on the calendar, right? Like it seems to be a large thing because it is coming right before this event that they're doing in Long Beach.
Sure. Well, but it's Dominion, right? Isn't that the event that it's at?
Is it Dominion?
Dominion.
I think so.
Like that's a decent thing for them, isn't it? Isn't that like their SummerSlam?
I'm not going to pretend. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me.
Like
go ahead and hit
is.
Us up on Twitter at Justin R. Young for me, at Willie Dills for him. Let's go ahead and get into our most popular part of the show, and that is our Melodica Challenge. Trey Warren, the maestro. Let's play our last week's Melodica Challenge. Oh, wait, no. Here we go.
I don't know how this isn't Booker T, but all right.
Who did
Apparently
you?
Apparently it's not.
Yeah. It is not Booker T.
Yeah.
Do you have any guess? Did you see who this was?
The Harlem Heat? I mean, what the hell, man?
It was not Harlem Heat. All right,
it's
chat room.
It's not a Booker T related individual?
It is not Booker T related in the least.
Wow. Okay.
This was a massive, massive swerve. I want to see if anybody in the chat gets it. I am so curious if anybody got it.
If this is not, and then I need to, once I know who it is, I need to look up their theme and hear
it. I'm going to play the theme right now for you. Here we go.
I don't hear it.
Oh, crap. All right, hold on. I'll have to play it off the other thing here. This is an old wrestler.
Okay. I mean,
go ahead. Any further talk through it.
Well, okay. So now someone in chat is saying who it is. And now I'm actually thinking, okay, that might actually be it. Hold on.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Native American, Tatanka.
Wow. Okay, now I hear it. It's just that in Melodica Land, all you hear are the notes.
Yeah.
If there was a little bit, he needed that thunderous bass and the and that heavy rock, you know, just pounding drum beat.
All right,
there.
Here we go. This was the Melodica theme one more time. All right, I'll tell you what, Trey Warren, we said he was too good, and now we've proven that he's too sweet. Let's see what he has for everybody.
He swerved us.
One more time. This one is on the tip of my tongue, but I cannot for the life of me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a little Googling here. I have some ideas, but yeah.
Ah.
I like it.
So good. If you want to know what it is today, then go ahead and head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/1900wrestling. That is where we will post not only the answer, but also the downloadable MP3. If you like any of these enough that you want to make them your ringtone, this is how you do it. Meanwhile, what do you got going on, Willie Dills?
Right now, the biggest thing going on is the Dills Hearthstone League is kicking back up this week. So we actually have 65 players. So you'll be seeing a lot of those matches being cast by me on my channel, twitch.tv/WillieDills, over the next 8 weeks, although we're actually going to take this time a 2-week break in the middle to have kind of a fun little offshoot tournament and give people who don't really care and just want to have a little break, a break in the middle of the season. So this will be like 10-week season this time around. And
that's comprehensive. That's comprehensive. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Dills Hearthstone League season 4. And this season I'm back. So I'm playing again because I took last season off. Yeah.
You are re-entering yourself.
I'm putting myself back in the mix. I ran the table in season 2, undefeated all the way through the playoffs. I was the Warriors. I was the 2017 Warriors.
Wow.
Of season 2, and then I took a season off. You know, just to give the other guys a chance.
Can anybody touch Dills in the league that he created and named in his own image? We'll find out.
Yep.
We will find out.
It's going to be good. So, yeah, check that out. And also come check out my my Twitch channel if you're into Player Unknown Battlegrounds. Playing a lot of that. So you can find
me. That is super popular these days, huh?
It is. It's really fun. That's why. You basically just look. You start with nothing. You find some guns. You run around and you kill other people or you die.
Yeah.
Great. It's like a Royal Rumble. It's a giant Royal Rumble.
It is super, super fun. All right, everybody, go ahead and check me out, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. It's not only where we stream this show, but also some other fun stuff. And speaking of hot games, that we are streaming. I've just been brought into the light on the brilliance that is Star Trek Bridge Crew for the Vive. We played
a little bit. Yeah, I saw that.
Played a little bit of that on the Night Attack channel. Super fun. Can't wait to do a little bit more in the near future.
Now, I have a question. Shoot. Can you order an Earl Grey hot in that game?
I do not know what the beverage options are for the captain. All right. I have only played the helmsman, but it is fascinating how fast you fall into the Star Trek lingo.
Yeah.
Like, in what would sound superfluous and ridiculous, like in science fiction shows, now is absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. And also, just to curse at your friends while you're piloting the Enterprise is.
All right, that sounds incredibly fun.
Five stars. Yeah. Five stars. All right, folks, again, patreon.com/1900wrestling is where you can support this very show. The Discord, always bustling. As soon as you subscribe at any level, you gain access to it. So head on over there right now, patreon.com/1900wrestling. But until next time, my name is Justin Robert Young. That is Willie Dills Gregory. We are 1-900-WRESTLING. We're all the Internet's questions are answered. We will see you next week.
We number the number
1-900-WRESTLING.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.